TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Cook and the block, and a block in there by Dozier, and he is down inside the one, but shy. Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
That was me. Yeah, that was me.
Oh, it's a blackberry lime
when I opened up the crate. You know, sometimes when you open up that 12-pack of Corona Hard Seltzer, you don't know what is the first choice of option.
Oh, sometimes they put the cherry in front?
Sometimes the cherry's in front. Maybe it's the mango. Or the lime, or the
tropical,
or the blackberry lime.
On the fly.
And what did I do when I opened up that 12-er after the game yesterday? What was sitting dead in the face at me was a purple blackberry lime, which is what you drink after a Vikings victory. So I was very happy that blackberry lime was staring me right in the face.
Boom.
And Corona Hard Seltzer is the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spike sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Back in there by Abdullah, the former Lion, got the ball. He's got an open path to the end zone and to the pylon and out of bounds at the one. They closed quickly. 21-yard. Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
The
you
best.
Know, when you're sitting there at what were we? 1-5. Everything is collapsing. You're getting ready to jump off the cliff. You beat Green Bay, and then you start to get a little juice. You beat Detroit, now you start to get a little bit more juice. So I think the confidence level helps. I think continuing to play well, I think, gives us confidence that we can do these things against good football teams. And Detroit's a good team. They really are. You know, maybe they weren't their best today, but it was a good
game. Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
That's right. Welcome in to Purple Daily. It's Phil Mackey.
Detroit.
It's Judd Zulgat. It's Declan Goff. And as always, you can find Purple Daily. And if you're new to the show, we've had a lot of people that have discovered the show this season, and we appreciate you, whether you discovered us through our Vikings Vent Line Sunday episodes or whether you have discovered our 7-day-a-week episodes of Purple Daily. Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and the ScoreNorth app. You can also listen to all of our shows. And you can also find our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast. We just launched a second YouTube channel a few months ago, ScoreNorthMN, youtube.com/ScoreNorthMN, where you can find Mackie and Judd stuff, Scoops with Doogie. If you're a Minnesota sports fan, Minnesota Vikings fan, we got you covered under the Score North umbrella. And gentlemen, we're going to dive into, as we do every Monday, Viking statements off of their third win of the season. But if it's okay with you, I'd like to start out by just making fun of the Bears for a couple of minutes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, what? Never.
Bears Vent Line making its first appearance on Purple Daily this season, courtesy of our friends on The Score in Chicago.
Nothing fun about watching this team as of right now. The offensive regression that we're seeing is just so saddening. You know, it's a beautiful day out there. We could have done, some people could have done something else, and yet we're treated to this. Matt Nagy, play calling, okay. We'll throw that one out. The offensive line is just horrible. That's on Ryan Pace. Right now, there is nothing about this team that makes me want to say, you know what? I really, really want to go watch this team every week.
You got some more?
I do. And in fairness, the Vikings fans felt exactly the way that guy yes. felt about a month ago. But, hey, 1 month makes a little bit of a difference.
There are disturbing things. He doesn't seem to be able to run a hurry-up offense. And he doesn't seem to be able to understand tempo. When they're moving down the field, then he huddles up when he has the other defense on the ropes. Unfortunately, you know, you're judged on wins and losses. They started out pretty good. However, we have to remember that, you know, three plays go the other way for the Bears, and they're like 2-7. You know, at the end of the day, you got to win. And if they can't win, then I think they have to replace him. And Mr. Pace shouldn't be too far behind him.
It's hilarious. They're 5-4, by the way. Like they're 5-4. They're in better playoff position than the Vikings
defeats,
are right now.
Though, and they look awful. So I can see the frustration from the fan base.
That's true. You guys want one more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll play more throughout the show here, but just.
When do you start calling out Nagy for not developing anybody? And I want to make one more quick point. Nagy. Bottom three since our St. Louis game, bottom three defense, offense, hasn't developed anybody, hasn't adapted. Nick Foles is a former Super Bowl winner and MVP. When do we put the blame on Matt Nagy? Not calling play calling for today, but let's be fair about that.
I'm a little disappointed in one thing, that the hosts of this show, at some point, don't start screaming back themselves. That's why I like it.
It might be an edit, too. I think we can I think we work with our weekend producers to make sure that we can grab the angry host, too.
The Chicagoan radio host who's really PO'd, really enjoy.
Actually, we used to... Oh, man. Let me do a quick search.
Because you get the accent.
Give me 1 second here.
Yeah, no problem. Because you get the thick Chicago accent, and when those people are mad, it's a lot of fun.
We used to have... Was it last year or the year before?
I know what you're talking about.
One of the hosts just went off on Matt Nagy here.
Yes.
Oh, man. I think this is
you find
it.
You okay.
I think this is it.
Okay.
My God, 16 games to make yourself a world championship. Last year, we went 12 games, 11 on defense. And they had everything going for him, every break. And coming into this year, does that coaching staff realize it? Has Mitch Trubisky realized it? Is he a better quarterback this year than he was the prior year or the prior year before that? No! He's gone backwards. And whose fault is it? Nagy.
Thank you.
Here's one from last December.
4th and 23, somewhere's around midfield, give or take a little bit one way or the other, okay? And you're a quarter. We're 4th and 23 yards to get a first down. So what do you do then? You take all your receivers, throw them down into the end zone, get your quarterback drop back, and unload it. We don't even try to do it. You know what this numbskull nincompoop quarterback did? He threw a check down. 4th down and 23 yards to go.
Ryan Pace is to blame for all of this. This guy is a complete
The two hosts that you played going off are great because you can.
Obradovich is one of them.
Because you've got a visual of bratwurst flying out of his mouth. Like chewed up brats parts just flying out of his mouth.
One more.
It's beyond belief. And you got to say, oh, well, don't go crazy and say, oh, you know, they won. Hey, folks, what are you trying to do? What is the objective? To wallow around with a bunch of pigs and finally find a way to win or be a dominant team that is willing and able to vie for championships? This thing today, it was a joke.
Thank you. That is righteous anger right there. Very righteous anger.
All right. The last few were from the end of last season, but I got a feeling the Bears are probably feeling pretty similarly right now. And Vikings and Bears, two franchises, just like fan bases are just walking on pins and needles and eggshells facing each other next Monday. But let's do a dive into the Vikings' second straight victory, boys, over the Detroit Lions.
If we have to, okay.
Vikings statements. 3-5. Judd Zolgad, why don't you start us off? We'll go around the room a number of times.
Statement number one. The Vikings have found a formula that works. Kirk Cousins averaged 29.2 passes per game in his first six games. The Vikings' record in that time, 1 win and 5 defeats. In the two games since the bye week, he has averaged per game 17 passes. I'm not saying it's a sustainable model, but I am saying that for the short term, by pivoting to Dalvin Cook now being atop the marquee for the Vikings offense and Cousins being a piece of the puzzle, but not atop the marquee in the short term, the Vikings have found a formula that works because it's a pretty drastic drop from basically almost 30 passes per game down to 17.
Yeah, and it is a formula that is not only working, but it's thriving these last 2 weeks. And when it's thriving, it's really hard to stop. I think my question is going to be when you have a capable defense that steps up and says, like a defense that wants to tackle, that has linebackers, right? The Lions and the Packers did not fit those descriptions the last couple weeks, but the Bears do.
Mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers, despite how bad they were, they will fit that formula in or fit that description in a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bears come out and decide, all right, enough of the Dalvin Cook show, he's not going to beat us today.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to Kirk. That's what's going to be interesting to see. But right now, this is a freight train offense that's going down the tracks.
Yes, it is.
So I agree with you on that front.
Dex?
All right, I'm going to be that guy. Dalvin Cook is the best running back in the league, and the contract was 100% worth it. And it's easy to say it, obviously, after another phenomenal performance where he goes over 200 yards and sets numerous Vikings records, which he has been doing. But I even went deeper into this contract one more time, and we've done this before, I know that, but look at the cap percentage that Dalvin Cook will take up next season and in 2022. In 2021, he's only taking up 2.9% of the cap. The next year, it jumps up to 5.3%. So it does increase a little bit. He'll still be 27 years old. I see a guy in Dalvin Cook who can still be this kind of running back for those next three seasons. And then after that, if you possibly do want to get out of the contract, it's doable. You actually would save money against the cap. It'd be doable if in some situation that you wanted to get out. I believe he also has a personal out after 2022 as well. But Dalvin Cook's contract, which was very hit or miss, if is this going to be worth it paying a running back? He is delivering, and I am for the contract, and he is the best back in the league. It's not Alvin Kamara, it's Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I agree for sure that he's the best running back in the league, and the contract will sort of play itself out based on how healthy he is, right? Like, I think if we were to have gone back, because we were critical of just giving contracts to running backs in general,
mm-hmm.
and most of them don't really pan out. And with Dalvin, the criticism was less about, is he actually good enough? And it was more, can the guy play 15 or 16 games a year?
Mm-hmm.
And he missed the game this year already. Listen, if he stays on the field and he stays, you know, and he's a guy that you can play on third down like you can, I agree on the contract part too. And that part will just have to sort of play itself out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know like what case you could make other than maybe a Christian McCaffrey. It's probably between Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey for best running back in the NFL.
He's fantastic, yeah.
And I don't know if I would die on the Christian McCaffrey hill there. I think you can make a case that it's Dalvin Cook.
The conundrum is that in order to maximize him, you have to abuse him, which they are doing, and which, by the way, I love. But he's had injury problems throughout his career. So the question becomes, because you can't take him down now to say, well, here's a game where he gets 14 touches. With the way that your offense operates, you are literally have to, and it's my plan, you have to abuse him. But at some point in time, he's going to hit a wall, and it's either going to be a career wall or he gets hurt again. And so that's where this is now become, for lack of a better term, a race to the end of this contract. You are racing the end because you are going to average, hopefully, 28 to 30 touches per game. That's ridiculous. But it's how you get the most from him. So it's a very, very interesting discussion and dynamic.
All right. Yeah, here's my first statement.
Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
Statement number three on the show today. The Vikings have the best offense in the NFL statistically this morning. Yards per play. The Vikings are averaging 6.6 yards per play offensively.
That's a great stat.
Number one in the NFL.
That is really interesting.
And by extension, the Vikings also have the best running game in the NFL. They are averaging 5.5 yards per rush attempt. And they're doing it the old-fashioned way. The next two closest teams on that list have two of the best, if not the two best, running and mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. Baltimore is second in rush yards per game. Also at like 5.3, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
and Arizona is at like 5.1 or 5.2. Well, those two quarterbacks can just sort of take broken pass plays and run the ball for 10, 15 yards. Kyler Murray is averaging 7 yards rushing. Those aren't designed runs necessarily all the time. So the Vikings are leading two teams with great running games and mobile quarterbacks, and they're doing it the old school way, which, again, it remains to be seen. The Vikings have trotted this formula out before with Brad Childress, before Brett Favre. They trotted it out. Adrian Peterson was the focal point there. They trotted it out again with Adrian in 2011 when he ran for 2,000 yards. It's definitely a winning formula to some extent if you can master it. Is it a win a Super Bowl formula? I don't necessarily think so. But if this is what they have to do to get back on track, and if they've decided, listen, we're going to make a run at a weak schedule and try to win 8-9 games, what you're watching is what happens when you put maybe the best running back with maybe the best run game schemer over the last 25 years in Gary Kubiak together as one. Gary Kubiak is famous over the last two decades for taking random guys, Ruben Drones and Arian Foster and sixth and seventh round draft picks and turning them into Pro Bowlers. Clinton Portis, I think, was one of them in Denver too, right? Where he just takes random dudes with a great scheme and they go for 1,000+ yards. So replace random dude with Dalvin Cook, and that's what's happening with the Vikings so far this season. 5.5 yards per carry. And like I said, unlike the other teams that are up there, they're doing it with just the running game and a non-mobile quarterback.
Love it.
Here, I'll give you this one again.
Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
Playing off what Phil just said, I think we all can agree that Dalvin Cook is a marvelous talent, right? The Vikings need to get Dalvin Cook a top-level quarterback ASAP, or he is destined to suffer the same fate of a guy that we saw playing broken down for the Lions yesterday, Adrian Peterson. Adrian had 1 year of a great quarterback here, and the Vikings, and Peterson statistically had a really nice year, not a great year, but what was the key? Defenses didn't know what to do. Okay, I'm going to stop 28. Well, then four is going to kill you.
Yep.
Or
amen.
I'm going to stop four. Well, then Peterson is going to kill you. Dalvin Cook seems like a good kid. He is no doubt one of, if not, as Deck said, the best running back in this league right now. The Vikings need to get this kid a top-level QB, or he is destined to suffer the same fate. With the current structure of how the Vikings are doing things at QB, Dalvin Cook, I can say this without any doubt, will never win a Super Bowl.
You know, it's funny.
And might not make one.
Just to actually, one point that you made that I want to amend is that Adrian actually, you're thinking like yard, he didn't run for 2,000 yards in 09.
Right.
But in 09, Adrian had his best touchdown season with 18.
And caught a bunch of passes.
And he had the most catches he's ever had with 43.
Yes.
So he was the most like multifaceted, productive, and they just didn't need to feed him the ball 400 times.
Absolutely.
Right? So you're right.
But like, that's the point.
Yep.
But I mean, Dalvin Cook is a talent that deserves to be on a Super Bowl stage.
In fact, I want to piggyback off that. I'm going to
it's a touchdown! How about that?
Statement number five. Okay, we're not going to turn this. We'll do our Kirk Cousins deep dive on Wednesday. This is not going to be a dump on Kirk Cousins episode, but I do want to point out statement number five. Kirk Cousins has been made largely irrelevant in the Vikings offensive equation. He is a cog in the system now, right?
Yes.
And I get, like, he's doing exactly what he should do these last 2 weeks, and he threw for 3 touchdowns yesterday, and that's great. But this is basically the 2005, 6, 7, 8 Vikings offense, the 2012 Vikings offense. Run the ball with success, have your quarterback make plays off play action, and keep the training wheels on the quarterback. Kirk Cousins' success, like, yesterday, you know, I'm fielding reaction from people off Ventline and whatnot and on Twitter that you need to give him credit. No, I don't. Like, Kirk Cousins' success the last two games does not deserve lavish praise. It deserves a slight nod of approval. It's a nice job.
If he makes 12 mil, I'm praising him.
You did a good job. You did what you were supposed to do. Anything that you've seen off Kirk Cousins the last couple of weeks, start by giving the praise to Dalvin Cook for being ridiculous and for defenses wanting to stop him and can't. And anything that Kirk is doing is playing off of the success that Dalvin Cook and the run game are having here. Dalvin Cook is doing the heavy lifting. The scheme is doing the heavy lifting. And Kirk's job is to just keep it on the path, baby. Don't throw interceptions. Play off play action. You're going to have open receivers down the field. And that's really all. And you know what? Through that process, you might throw 3 touchdown passes. And that's awesome.
Christian Ponder led a Vikings team to the playoffs.
with this very similar formula.
It wasn't because of Christian Ponder.
Adrian.
His arm broke in the process.
Peterson.
Yes, he did. He did. His arm literally fell off.
Yeah, and Joe.
It was like a torn biceps or something?
Yeah, his bicep was kinds of purple.
I think he strained it washing his hair at a CVS, if I remember.
This is why Sam blocked you, and now you're going back at it again.
A tough time going out to restaurants, okay? It's hard being the Ponder.
Did you guys
see?
So Sam Ponder went on a Minnesota Vikings fan and media blocking spree like 7 years ago. So I never even tweeted at her. I criticized her husband, so she must have had a search for Christian and just blocked everybody. Did you guys see the story that she waited out Dave Portnoy in a New York City steak restaurant at the bar for an hour and got in his face and, like, they argued for an hour about Barstool's criticism of Sam Ponder?
Good for her.
Go check it out.
That's awesome both ways.
Unbelievable.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I like her more now.
It's unreal. Yeah. Portnoy has a new podcast, and he just, like, did a 45-minute episode explaining the whole interaction. It's totally worth your time.
It's a touchdown!
All right, so my statement has nothing to do with the Ponders, but it's Jeff Gladney is turning a corner. And I'll say that yesterday.
Pun intended.
Jeff Gladney yesterday, the highest graded defensive player in the Vikings, an 81.9 grade per PFF. In overall grades, now he's making strides here. In overall grade, he's 43rd out of 76. Again, not bad for a rookie. He only allowed 28 receiving yards yesterday. He kind of, I think what a lot of people have seen him is a diet Antoine Winfield, where he's an extremely good tackler. He's actually graded very high in run blocking and able, and there was a play too, I believe, in the first series where he makes a very athletic play and is able to spin around the line, it might have been Amendola, on the first series that prevents them from getting the first down conversion.
Yep.
He was dynamite yesterday. I don't know if he's going to, you know, jump into the top 10, but Gladney, with Mike Zimmer under his tutelage, it's very similar to guys like Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, where at first, was it pretty? No. But you're starting to see strides, and I think Jeff Gladney is indeed turning a corner.
I like the pun there. And there was a couple plays early, if I remember, it might have been the first or second Lions drive, and it was like a third and three or something. There was an out route, and Gladney was right there, hand in the receiver's face. And you're right. Like, I don't know if we underestimated this, because we did some offseason episodes just saying, wow, if they don't play preseason games and they're going to roll out rookie cornerbacks, it's going to be ugly early. And it was. But let's not underestimate how almost impossible it would be as a college cornerback with no preseason games to jump in and Aaron Rodgers is the first quarterback you're facing. Like, hey, so all in one swoop, you're going to have to get used to NFL speed, NFL checks at the line of scrimmage, NFL route running and all these things with no warm-up period at all. It's pretty likely that it would take into October, November, December for you to really start.
And we said that. You're
getting
right.
Comfortable, right?
We warned you.
Yep. And he was good in that game yesterday.
Oh, it's a touchdown! How about that?
I've got one more, and it's not about the current Vikings team. It's about a former Viking, and it pains me to say this because I'm proven right, but I still don't like being right here. Adrian Peterson rushing for 29 yards on 8 carries, which is a 3.6 yard average, was not something I ever needed to see.
He's inching his way into the top three all
time. I know he is.
25 yards at a time.
And he probably needs the paycheck too, but honest to God, this is why I didn't want to see it. Now, if this guy had been just, hey, good, then I don't care. Then break down in front of my eyes, and it's like, okay, that's fine. But this guy was greatness. Like, he is the best Vikings running back I've ever seen. I didn't see Chuck much, so, there might be a debate there. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, Adrian Peterson is the greatest running back to wear purple, all right?
Yeah.
And to see that yesterday, and I know he's bounced from, what, the Saints to the Cardinals to Washington's team, and now, fittingly, he's going to end probably, I hope, as a Lion. It was sad.
Back to Viking statements here on Purple Daily in just a moment, but a quick shout out to Federated. Federated Mutual Insurance Company, they've been helping business owners since the early 1900s, and they've been tweeting away here, too, with fresh, relevant risk management content on a variety of topics at Federated INS. So if you are on Twitter like we are, and if you're throwing out takes on Sundays during Vikings games, why don't you give Federated a follow, especially if you're a business owner, at Federated INS, and find out why Federated has been giving business owners peace of mind and frontline protection for a long, long time. At Federated Insurance, remember that it's always our business to protect yours. Could you see any scenario where he signs a league veteran minimum contract and ends his career as a Vikings backup running back?
No, zero chance, because the stunts that he pulled back in 16, as far as trying to come back and then going on DJ Jazzy Jeff's podcast to announce
DJ that, Ski.
Yeah.
St. Paul Central graduate, dude.
And that's fine. But he so manipulated things that I'm pretty sure as long as Spielman and Zim are here, there's no chance.
Yeah,
he'll
retire as a Vikings. Like, he'll do the one-day
he'll
contract,
he'll sign a one-day
right?
contract. I think he absolutely will, but I don't see any way that he is ever allowed in that locker room again.
He loves chasing records, and I think he really wants to catch Barry Sanders for sure to be fourth all time.
I just don't need to see it.
He is still 700 yards behind Barry Sanders, and there's almost no way he gets there this year.
I think that there's times in life where people have to know, as powerful as they might have been, to walk away. Oh. To just gracefully walk away.
Interesting.
And I think Adrian, I just wish he knew that.
Football.
Statement number 6, 7, whatever statement we're on here, right?
I'm through three, so.
Yep. The Vikings have a legit path to 9-7 right now.
Yeah.
So Declan actually gave them 9 wins in our schedule repick last week, but they've now moved to 3-5. The schedule is very favorable coming up. The Chicago Bears are now arguing about whether Mitch Trubisky should be their starting quarterback again. All right. And the Bears have beat the Vikings with random quarterbacks in the past. So I'm not going to sit here and minimize the Bears' ability to beat the Vikings with a broomstick at quarterback. But they've got a limping Chicago team on Monday night. They've got a home game against Dallas that should get Andy Dalton back, but, I mean, Dallas, like, is Andy Dalton going to be the spark that gets the Cowboys, you know, firing on all cylinders? Their defense is terrible.
Then
two more home games against Carolina and Jacksonville. Carolina is probably the toughest team of all these. And then you've got additional games against Chicago at home on December 20th, Detroit on the road.
Detroit's going to be done by then.
Even if you lose to Tampa and lose to New Orleans, and you win the other games, that's 9-7 right there. Now, they're probably going to have a slip-up, but we've kind of gone. Now, if they lose to the Bears, I'm back on the tanking discussion, but they've kind of gone
from. But you
really
can't tank then, right?
Well, that ship has sailed at this
point. That's done, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just gone.
They are firmly headed toward flirting with a playoff
spot. If they lose
here.
To the Bears, I don't believe at all, but the tanking thing's just done.
But here's the thing, like, they're
going to happen.
There's like, even if they lose to the Bears, it doesn't mean that they're not also going to be competitive and or beat Dallas,
correct,
Carolina, Jacksonville, and like
that's
still be on an 8-8 path.
Yeah.
So I just think at this point, the only two teams that I would look at and say that's going to be a tall task are at Tampa and at New Orleans. So the new mission is, and you said it last week, if you're going to go. If you're going to beat Green Bay, you better beat Detroit, then go. Don't sit here and do the stop start thing and go 4-12.
And beat Chicago.
Yep. So just get on with it and have a big time comeback and something that Vikings fans can appreciate, and then still draft a quarterback in the mid to late portion of the first.
Oh, come on. Kirk's fitting in perfectly now. I don't know what you're talking about anymore, Phil.
He is for $33 million. Yep. Dex, what kind of statement?
I'm going to piggyback right off yours and still say the Vikings have a chance to be the best team in the division. Because as of right now, they're the second best team. Like, I'm just in the sample size of what we've seen through eight, nine games here. You know, they are better than the Lions. We just saw that. I think they're trending better than the Bears. I really, truly think they're a better football team than
careful
the Bears.
Careful with those polls,
the
Dex.
Bears have, yes, right.
They can be goofy.
The Bears definitely have a better defense, but I think the Vikings obviously have a better offense, and that offsets things in 2020. And if the Packers are truly not as good as we thought they were, it's not just a path of 9-7. There might be a path that might get you the division win. That might be able to give you the NFC North. So there's still a path for the Vikings to be the best team in the NFC North.
I think just looking at Green Bay's schedule, Green Bay definitely isn't as good as just like last year. Like, they were 13-3. They weren't as good as that. They're 6-2. They're not as good as their record says, because there are teams that'll punch them in the mouth. But I don't think there's that many teams left on their schedule that are going to give them that fight. I would say they probably lose one of the two Chicago games. They might have a situation at Indianapolis that they don't like defensively. I could see that game going the wrong way. But it kind of feels like the Packers have, like, that game against San Francisco was, to me, that was kind of if San Francisco would have brought their full troops to the fight there.
Oh, it would have been a great game.
Right.
But they didn't, and now the Packers have such a big lead I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But this, I guess this conversation surrounding the Vikings is much different than it was two or three
weeks ago. Ask me Monday, a week from tonight at about 11 o'clock, and I will tell you.
That's fair.
Because until then, I just don't know.
I got one more statement here for sure. And I hate to do this to him, but he brought it on himself. Everson Griffin.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like it.
You didn't show how great you were. And I love me some Everson Griffin, and he was a really, really good player for the Vikings. This was Kirk Cousins talking about being able to hear Everson Griffin just chirping for 3 hours.
I love Everson. The best part was when we all took the field and there was a moment, there was quiet, and you hear his voice from the other sideline saying, some music would be nice. Just asking the PA guy to play more music. So he's just, you know, he brought that juice for the Vikings for a decade.
Yeah. And he was awesome for the Vikings. But the whole, like, Mike Zimmer called me a good player, put some respect on my name. Like, dude, you play for the Lions. Just
he got traded to a team that doesn't care. Like,
and
he cares.
And he did have a nice little pass. He broke up a little short
and he
pass
celebrated and pointed at the Viking sideline, and it was typical Ev. But he is now playing for a team, defensively at least, that's cashed in the season.
Yeah, Everson, the Vikings are your friend. Vikings fans are your friend. Mike Zimmer is your friend.
Going to the Detroit Lions, to me, is the football equivalent of, in baseball, going to the Pirates. It's just over.
You can't really trash talk.
Like, you're just done. I mean, you know what? The paycheck's still good.
Pirates.
God bless America. I get all of that. But it's just done. Yeah. It's over. The Lions, it's over.
So, yeah, not a great return to Minnesota for Everson Griffin and Adrian Peterson. Any other final statements before we sample some more Bears vent line here, gentlemen?
Yeah, I've got one. Okay. And it's going to be a weekly thing. And I will throw it out there until I'm satisfied that the problem is rectified. Irv Smith needs to be catching more than three passes in the past two games.
I think he only caught two in this one, but at least
three
both
passes,
went for touchdowns.
Three passes past two games. But my point is what Irv Smith does well fits into the Dalvin Cook theme. Like, you're not going nine route. You're not going 35 yards downfield, right? He's a tight end. He's catching short passes. That fits. Irv Smith is a damned talent. Like, let's recognize this. And 82, he's fine. But if there's, like, any doubt about, I wonder who could make a play here. I'm not torn. Kyle Irv. I'm going Irv now. You drafted Irv. He's really good. Good pick.
Third and goal at the one. Cook, fake, out to Smith. His second touchdown reception of the day.
Yeah, totally agree.
They drafted him. He's their guy. He's great. I like him.
In case you guys forgot, the Bears are a chaotic mess now, too. It's a Bears vent line.
You know, the old saying goes, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And Nagy even said that the offense is a recurring issue. And I don't know what he's really done to fix it. You know, I up here you see LaFleur with the Packers. You know, they have no wide receivers, so they go with, playing three running backs, and doing that. And you see that flexibility. So I'm going to give this team next week is a chance for Nagy to really show that he can do something. But if it's the same performance next week, then I think it's time for him to go and use the bye to reset and look forward to, a different future.
Still waiting on Matt Patricia to get fired today. So is it possible Patricia gets fired today?
He should.
Then Nagy gets fired next week. The Vikings could have three fired coaches under the belt. Dan Quinn needed one more week in the Vikings.
Oh, I know. If Dan Quinn had just coached the Falcons in that game, the Vikings have a fourth win now. You're right.
The biggest issue I see with this offense is the high level of tolerance for subpar and mediocre play. Like, there's no fire anywhere from any player on that offense. You got guys fumbling the ball. Nick Foles, $17 million this year, throwing interceptions he shouldn't throw or taking sacks he shouldn't take. And they come off the field and there's nobody jawing on them. I mean, the time for patience is over. And I think that starts with the head coach. I don't see any fire there either. And look, fire spreads. just accepting this mediocre play.
Sounds like a song. Fire spreads.
Oh, man. The Bears. Duh.
I love the fact that the first caller is going to draw the line and fire Nagy if they lose.
One more week.
You know what? I haven't seen enough yet. Let's give Trubisky the start.
Okay, who do you guys, for a Vikings victory, who would you rather Vikings face? Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles?
I'd rather face Trubisky, I think.
I'd rather face Trubisky, yes. But
I think I probably would too.
But Foles in any jersey, but Phillies,
he's been awful.
He's not the same guy. He's never the same guy.
Yeah, that was the way he looked in that playoff stretch against the Vikings and Patriots, and the way he looks now. Now, don't be fooled. You can look at his numbers and see, oh, he threw for 350 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, like all of it when the Bears were down by 2 touchdowns or whatever in the late fourth quarter. So those are your Vikings statements and your Bears vent line. This Monday after a Vikings victory.
I really enjoyed the vent line part of this.
It was very therapeutic. Took a while for us to be able to dump on other teams in the NFC North, but we're back, baby.
We are.
We're back here. Mackie and Judd and Declan, we'll see you guys for some nerd football stats tomorrow. And Courtney Cronin scheduled to join tomorrow and Friday. See you guys.